This is Cashing Out on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Cashing Out. Mark Melusis with you on this Sunday right here on VSiN. Game two of the NBA Finals went final last night. The Indiana Pacers fall to the Oklahoma City Thunder, 123-107. So Oklahoma City covers the heavy 11.5-point spread. The game goes over as well. And the more desperate team played like it last night. Did a better job on the glass. Matched Indiana. 14 threes made for the Indiana Pacers. 14 made threes for the Oklahoma City Thunder. SGA with 34 points, the reigning MVP in the NBA. Got great production, obviously, from both Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, Caruso coming off the bench, dropped in 20 points. Wiggins hit 4 of 8 from behind the arc. I think he finished with 18, 19 points. So the Thunder, who were a decided favorite going into these NBA Finals, that's why everybody was stunned after Indiana did to Oklahoma City what they did against the Knicks, the Cavaliers, and obviously the Milwaukee Bucks. Early on in the NBA postseason, you said, well, this is going to be a different beast. It's Oklahoma City. It's on the road. The Thunder have been a decidedly better team at home when you're looking at their margins of victory as compared to on the road. And everybody was stunned to watch Indiana do it again in game one while the Thunder responded. They learned. They did a better job in the glass. They did a better job matching Indiana from point production from behind the arc. The Pacers didn't turn the basketball over as much, but Indiana wasn't efficient shooting the basketball. They attempted 43 Sunday night out in Oklahoma City, hitting just 14. That's not going to get it done from an Indiana perspective. So, you know, the Pacers are a decided underdog to win this series, even though they did what they needed to do going back home for a game three Wednesday night back at Gainsbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, is that to have the series tied up at a game apiece. However, they're going into that game three as the market is set. The total in the game is sitting right around 228, and Indiana is anywhere from a 4.5 to a 5-point underdog based on the book that you look at. And people are going to say to themselves, well, how do you, the line basically is begging you to take Oklahoma City. It really is. Because if you're looking at it and you watched the first two games of these NBA Finals, you'd say to yourself, well, Oklahoma City is by far the better basketball team. You know, if they didn't go and play around with their food in game number one, they'd be up 2-0 in this series, and we'd be thinking to ourselves, well, could we be looking at a sweep in this series? I'd be a little careful with that and that kind of logic, because I think Indiana's going to go to work, and Rick Carlisle and that coaching staff are going to go to work. There were threes to be made last night on Sunday night in game two that Indiana did not knock down. And as you look ahead to game three, I mentioned it earlier on in the program. I think a guy to keep an eye on would be Tyrese Haliburton, who finished the game in game two with 17 points. He had 12 points in the fourth quarter. He had 5 points in really the context of this game through the first three quarters. The 12 points came really in garbage time. And I'm giving all the credit in the world to the Oklahoma City Thunder and what they do defensively. But I got to imagine that Carlisle and his coaching staff are going to do some work here over the next handful of days to get Haliburton some open looks, because the Indiana Pacers, not only can they not win this series or make these games competitive if they don't outshoot the Oklahoma City Thunder, they also are not going to be able to make this a series if Haliburton's going to be non-existent or non-impactful offensively. That's not going to work. Give Lu Dort and the Oklahoma City Thunder credit for the way that they played. I think the line is sitting where it's sitting, number one, because if you look at the home and road splits, the Thunder are by far a more dominant team in a lot of different ways at home in Oklahoma City as compared to on the road. Just look at the results on the road throughout the course of these NBA playoffs. I mean, they lost to Minnesota on the road by 40-plus points in game three, and that was a desperate game by Minnesota. But still, I mean, that was an embarrassing performance by Oklahoma City. I don't think we're going to get that on Wednesday night. You know, but I like before the series started, I thought the Thunder were going to win this series in six games. I still think that is going to be the way that this series does play out. I think Indiana's got one more bullet in the holster, so to speak. I think Indiana's got one more shot here to put a little bit of doubt into this series. And I think it comes down to game three back at home on Wednesday night as a 5-point underdog. I think Haliburton will be a lot more aggressive. I would take his over prop total sitting at 17.5 points. I think they're going to shoot the ball, obviously, feeding off that crowd at home a lot better on Wednesday night as well. And I think Oklahoma City, they're just not nearly the same team. And I'd be a little bit concerned about Williams and Holmgren and their point production. Indiana's got to do a better job on the glass. There's no question about it. I think the Pacers can make this a little bit of a series. I don't think the series, Oklahoma City is a minus 560, minus 570 favorite to win the series. I still like the Thunder to win it. I think Oklahoma City, though, is going to be down 2-1 going into game four. And that's where they will set the tone and that go out, win game four, and then potentially go out there and win the next two games to win the series in six games. I think that's how it's going to play out. But I like the Indiana Pacers looking ahead to Wednesday night. I'd take all that 5 points. I think they're going to play like their season is on the line, because in essence, it probably is. As we look ahead, and Jonathan Davis is going to join us in the next segment, looking ahead to game three of the Stanley Cup Finals later on tonight down in Sunrise, Florida. As you look at the Florida Panthers, fresh off the Marchand overtime winning goal in game two, and this has been a hell of a series. And the Stanley Cup playoffs are really unbelievable when you look at it. And this rendition this year, Gary Bettman's going to be smiling ear to ear. The Panthers and the Oilers, and I like Edmonton in this series before this series started. I liked them in game one. I thought the Panthers would bounce back in game two. As this series shifts down to Sunrise, Florida later on tonight, the Florida Panthers are a minus 138 favorite. The Edmonton Oilers are plus 115. If you're looking at, say, with this series now, you've taken all the information and you want to, say, decipher it, who's going to win the Stanley Cup? Well, the Oilers are minus 104 and the Florida Panthers are minus 115. Why is that the case? Because the Florida Panthers, by virtue of splitting the first two games up in Edmonton, have home ice advantage here moving forward. I thought there was an edge in this series in nets between Bobrovsky and Skinner. You know, going into it, because we've seen Bob go on these great runs. I think you've seen Bobrovsky when he's needed to make the big time save has been really good. Skinner has been, you know, equal to his match for the better part of this series. And you give Florida credit after giving up that goal to Corey Perry late in regulation, which forced the overtime. It was the pain in the rear end, Brad Marchand, with the game winner in overtime for the Florida Panthers. And I think they're going to use that momentum to take a 2-1 series lead later on tonight, you know, as the minus 135 favorite. I think this series has seven games written all over it. I really do. I don't think there's a lot that separates these two teams. You know, we were talking to Jonathan Davis on another program right here on VSiN before this series started. I thought he made a great point. When you look at Florida, they're a little bit better offensively this year. Defensively, you look at Edmonton, they're a little bit better. I think Edmonton has got the veterans in that lineup to where, you know, like the Corey Perrys of the world, where, you know, they can lean on those guys and the moment's not going to be too big of them. We all know the brilliance of McDavid. We all know the brilliance of Draisaitl. There's no question about it. And this is a better version of the Edmonton Oilers that eventually lost in the Stanley Cup final to the Florida Panthers a year ago. I think it's been great hockey. The scene up in Edmonton for the first two games was fantastic. It really was. And we got two great games, a game-winning goal by Draisaitl in game one, and then a game-winning goal by the former legendary Boston Bruin, Brad Marchand, in game two for the Florida Panthers. And I think that's the way that this series is going to go. I think it's a very, I don't think there's a lot that separates these two teams. The betting markets would lead you to believe that before this series started. And I think everything we've learned through the first two games of this series would lead you to believe that as well. I would take the Florida Panthers, though, in game three later on tonight in Sunrise to take a 2-1 series lead. But by no means do I think that's in essence going to determine how the series goes out and plays out the rest of the way. I can see it going either way. I liked Edmonton before it started. I think this is going seven games. I think the Oilers are going to have an opportunity at home, and I think it's going to go seven to finally win a Stanley Cup for Canada for the first time since 1993. It has been a long time for all the Canadian hockey fans to be able to celebrate. I know there's a separation, Edmonton and Ottawa and Toronto and everything like that, but we all know how important Canada, how important hockey is to our Canadian brethren. They haven't won a Stanley Cup and been able to celebrate a Stanley Cup victory since 1993. So it's been a long time since Montreal knocked off the Los Angeles Kings. Edmonton's going to have that opportunity in the seventh game. I think they're going to get it done. But I like Florida later on tonight to take a 2-1 series lead. So we got the NBA Finals all knotted up in a game apiece. We've got the Stanley Cup Finals tied up at a game apiece with a big game three later on tonight. And I think that's going to be a great series. I think the Stanley Cup Finals are going to be a significantly better series than when you look ahead or look at this NBA Finals in total when it's all said and done, because I think the Thunder have shown you through the first two games of these NBA Finals that they're the better team. It would take a miracle for Indiana to win another three games before Oklahoma City does, and nothing would change that opinion based on what you've seen outside of the result in Game 1 from what you've seen from the majority of the play through the first two games of this respective series. Want to bet smarter this football season? We're only 87 days away from the start of the NFL season. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-2026 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Go to vsin.com/subscribe and use promo code BOOK, B-O-O-K, to sign up. That's vsin.com/subscribe. It is cashing out on this Sunday night. Mark Melusis with you, recapping the NBA Finals. That series tied up at a game apiece. Looking ahead to Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals. That series between the Oilers and Panthers tied up at a game apiece. Jonathan Davis joins the program next. It's Mark Melusis cashing out Sunday night right here on VSiN.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums, earn cash back rewards, 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code CASH. CASH. Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. Mark Melusis with you. It is cashing out on this Sunday night right here on VSiN. And let's get into Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals, which gets going back underway later on tonight, Sunrise, Florida. And that is the Florida Panthers and the Edmonton Oilers, with that series tied up at a game apiece. And let's welcome aboard Jonathan Davis, VSiN NHL analyst, joins the program now. Hey, Jonathan, Mark Melusis with you right here on Cashing Out. Thanks for the time tonight.
Mark, always a pleasure. How's your night going?
It's going well, Jonathan. It really is. And these Cup Finals, first two games have been fantastic. And I think hockey fans are in for a treat here, Jonathan. If this series continues in this trend, what we saw in Edmonton the first two games, if that continues as this year, as this series shifts down to South Beach.
Yeah, I mean, look, the best two teams in hockey. I mean, plain and simple. No surprise there. And, you know, look, despite the fact that we've got two teams that neither had home ice along the way because they finished third in their division. It kind of shows you that there are two teams that, especially in the case of Florida, well, really in both cases, they place less importance on the regular season. They used it as a tune-up, and they got themselves ready for the playoffs. And when you look at the Oilers lineup, it's a lineup that is far different than what they played with for most of the regular season due to both injury and trades. And, you know, you can say somewhat, you know, the Florida Panthers, you know, the two additions at the deadline of Seth Jones and Brad Marchand have had huge impacts. And obviously Marchand with the two goals in game number two, including the game winner and what at the time was the go-ahead goal.
When you look at what do you take away from the first two games as we looked ahead to game three? Florida's a -138 favorite. The Oilers are +115. Series tied up at a game apiece. What information have you been able to gather first two games that you can think you can help us as we get set for game three tonight?
That as well as both these goalies have played and some big saves, you know, from Sergei Bobrovsky, you know, I look at three, the game that was 3-2 in the third period, and Evan Bouchard had a chance to make it a two-goal game, and Bobrovsky said no. And despite both goalies giving up four goals in regulation, goaltending's been good. Like, it's not bad goaltending. But by the same token, you know, these two teams have a propensity of playing overs just because the offense is so good. I mean, Mark, you know, you take a look at what it's now five of the last seven games between these two teams in the Stanley Cup final going back to last year have had seven goals or more, and one of them had six. So for me, the over, you can't play under. I mean, play under at your own risk. For me, it's an over. and if you want to wait, because everyone, you know, well, there were some sixes available before game two, there aren't any before game three. So if you want to wait for a six and take a chance that we don't get a goal in the first, you know, 3 minutes or so, then do that. But I feel still comfortable playing over 6.5.
John, then how about a side? I like Florida in game three. I'm curious. You know, I still like the Oilers in the series. But what do you like in game three from a side perspective, Edmonton or Florida?
Okay, well, Mark, I've been the guy that's been pushing playing the puck line for both teams. And, you know, coming into the final, it was 11 straight in 20 of 22. And obviously two yep. overtime games ruled out the puck line. I think the odds for me are against this game going to overtime again. I think as the series goes on, it wouldn't shock me to see a game where there is a two-goal margin at least. And if one of those be an empty netter, that wouldn't surprise me. So I will come back with both teams at -1.5 in game three. You can get Florida at -1.5 at +172 and Edmonton at +265. So I'm going to go back with that that same process here in game number three.
We're talking with Jonathan Davis, NHL analyst and betting analyst here for VSiN. John, I want to ask you from a prop perspective. You know, we've seen Draisaitl. He went scoreless last year in the Stanley Cup final. He's already had an impact. The brilliance of McDavid, obviously. Marchand, you mentioned two goals, including the overtime winner. Verhaeghe's had goals for Florida. Bennett, I mean, you'll go up and down the line for the Florida Panthers. Anything from a player prop perspective going into game three?
Yeah, there are a lot of ways to attack it. I mean, look, Sam Bennett, you can still get it at FanDuel at +195. For an anytime goal. He was +230 in the last game, which I was all over it, and I'll still be on +195. You know, you compare that to Leon Draisaitl, who's at +115 for an anytime goal. It makes no sense that the guy who leads the Stanley Cup playoffs in goals with 13 is a +195. Now, what I will say, and as I'm saying this, I should stop myself, because 12 of Bennett's goals, of his 13 goals, have come away from home. So beware. Now, with Leon, Draisaitl, as I said, +115 to get an anytime goal. He has scored the first road goal for the Oilers three times in the playoffs. He has scored the first goal for the Oilers. It's now three times in the playoffs as well. You can get Leon at FanDuel for the first road goal. So the first Oilers goal tomorrow or Tuesday at +$4, or many of those goals have been in the first period for Draisaitl. You can get him at 5-1 to score a first period goal. That one also cashed in game number two. So that's a way to, I think that's a better approach for Draisaitl. Get a better price, tack it either way. I'm going to be on the first Edmonton goal of the game for Draisaitl at 4-1. You mentioned Carter Verhaeghe. I like him at +148 for an assist. Evan Rodriguez is another one. Led the playoffs last year in points. I like him at +164 for an assist. Keep an eye on Evander Kane. He's going to be playing with Leon Draisaitl on that line. You can get him at a good price. Corey Perry, the little rat, was one of the guys that I had for two goals or more, you know, in this series. He's already got one. You still get him at +3.25 for a guy, you know, that will see top power play time. The other player to look for, and I haven't seen a line posted yet, but the Oilers are, you know, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins of the Oilers is a game time decision. for game number three, according to head coach Chris Knobloch. Then the idea right now, Jeff Skinner is the guy that will slot in with McDavid and Perry. If you can get a good price on Skinner, anything, I mean, I would take Skinner playing on that top line, especially if you can get him at $3 or more. That's another guy to look at.
Jonathan, anything when you're looking at the series prices that you think is it would be a value for our audience?
I have in pocket the Oilers at -1.5 games. I'm still comfortable with that. But, you know, look, at this point, I don't have the series prices in front of me. If you want to help me out, I'll take it. Cause I like the Oilers in six ultimately. So
right now the Oilers, I mean, Jonathan, right now the Oilers are -104. The Florida Panthers are -115 in the series.
Right. But I would target the Oilers in six. Like, I think for me, that would be a better way to approach it.
Well, you look at the Oilers right now, -1.5 or +240.
Yeah, which is a better price. Yeah, which is a great price. I mean, I have them at, I think I had them at like +176. So I would take the Oilers at -1.5 at +240. I still think they win in six. I'm still comfortable with that approach.
When you look at it, you mentioned some player props. Do you think this series going into game four is 2-1 Edmonton or 2-1 Florida, Jonathan?
I'm going to go with 2-1 Edmonton. But, I mean, look, it's, you know, maybe that's wishful thinking, Mark, on my part. Florida started to really, their whole philosophy is to extract a pound of flesh from you every game, every shift. And, they really amped up the hit parade in game number two. Yes, it went to overtime, but they out-hit the Oilers by 21. They had 60 hits. I just think that, Edmonton can absorb it. And I just, so for me, I'm still looking at Edmonton in six. And going back, I'm sorry, to answer your question about who wins, I target both teams on the puck line. For me, that's the safest way. That's the safest way to approach it. So I'm not picking a side or a total. I'm not picking a side on that.
Jonathan Davis, host of Ice Caps, SiriusXM. There you go. Switzerland. Who doesn't enjoy Switzerland? Jonathan, it's been great. Enjoy game three tonight. All right, bud?
All right, Mark. Thanks for having me. Have a great rest of your night.
You got it. This is Cashing Out right here on VSiN.
Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is Cashing Out on this Sunday night. Mark Melusis with you right here on VSiN. Well, let's hit the progressive guest line right now. We'll welcome aboard Nick Whalen, co-host of Prop Points, Monday to Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern time right here on VSiN, and a RotoWire senior analyst. Hey, Nick, Mark Melusis with you. Thanks for the time tonight. Certainly appreciate it.
Hey, anytime, man. Anytime. This is my usual Sunday night slot. I was just telling you off air, it's always a great way to wind down the weekend. Yeah. We had a fun game too. Kind of fun, I suppose, especially if you're a Thunder fan, and happy to be here, man.
Yeah, and Nick, I gave my initial thoughts on what we saw in game number two tonight out in Oklahoma City, and you saw the Thunder respond, right? The more desperate team, they were anywhere from, I think the line opened up as a 3.5-point first quarter favorite. I think it closed right around 4.5. Mm-hmm. They covered, won by, we're up 26-20 after the opening quarter. They were an 11-point favorite in the game. They win the game by 16. The total was set at 228.5. That game goes over as well. Mm-hmm. If you were looking for the Thunder to respond in a big time way, that's exactly what you got tonight after they blow the 15-point lead and lose game one.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think the roadmap for this, you go back to round two against Denver, right, where they blow a late lead. Aaron Gordon hits that crazy three on the wing. Denver ends up stealing a game that certainly felt like it was going to be an OKC victory. And the Thunder turn around and won game two in that series by, I think, 41 points. This wasn't quite that level of a decimation, but I think there was a reason that we saw that line jump by a point and a half relative to game one, because the script is out there, right? OKC, this team that, even though they don't have NBA finals experience, you just trust this team to show up in this spot. And I thought overall this was just a classic OKC win, right? Relentless effort on defense, even though the steal numbers weren't as gaudy as they were in game one. You had multiple role players contributing. Alex Caruso was fantastic. Aaron Wiggins was great. You know, I thought some calls actually went against the Thunder throughout this game, didn't really end up mattering. And obviously Indy, it didn't play well necessarily, ended up with 15 turnovers, but still forced 14 for OKC. And I think if there's something that you could be happy with heading back to Indianapolis for game three, it's that you've played these two games in OKC. You split them, of course. You've accomplished what you set out to do. And, you know, points off turnovers have been basically equal through these first two games. So even though if you're Indiana, yeah, you want to be probably in that 10-11 turnover range instead of 15 to 25 like we've seen in these first two games, I don't know if that's really possible against OKC. I think 15, you'll live with that the rest of the way if you're Indiana. But the Pacers' effort in transition, you know, limiting the Thunder off of those turnovers, and I think contesting shots at the rim, you know, that's something that's really stood out to me, particularly in game one. They did a great job. But even in game two, I mean, OKC is not shooting the lights out by any means. Like, yeah, you've had some role players step up, but I think Indy is actually playing this team pretty well defensively.
Yeah, and I thought it was important for Oklahoma City tonight to play them even from behind the arc, and that's exactly what they did after right. Indiana was plus 21 from three-point range. You know, when you look at it, I mentioned, you know, if Indiana is going to be a real threat to take down Oklahoma City and pull off a massive upset in this series, Nick, one guy that's got to get going is Tyrese Halliburton. He had 5 points going into that fourth quarter. That's a credit to the Thunder's defense. I get it. You know, he finished with 17, scored 12 in that fourth quarter. Indiana wasn't getting the necessary stops to pull off any kind of miraculous comeback tonight. Mm-hmm. What about what OKC is doing defensively? And when you look at the prop market for Halliburton here moving forward going into game three?
Yeah, a lot of good points there. And, you know, I think you look at the final line for Tyrese Halliburton, you say, okay, 17 points, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. You know, you'll live with that in a blowout loss. But like you said, a lot of that is contextual here. I mean, almost all of that production, scoring-wise at least, came in garbage time. And, you know, I thought OKC stuck to its same game plan essentially from game one, right? They didn't overreact. They didn't go back to the double big starting lineup. They kept Kayson Wallace out there. And, you know, forcing the ball out of Tyrese Halliburton's hands. If he's going to bring it up, if he's getting a rebound, they're picking him up, you know, before half court. And Tyrese Halliburton, for as great of a player as he is, he's not built the same way as someone like SGA or someone like Anthony Edwards, who, of course, the Thunder just saw in the West Finals, where those guys are going to force the issue, right? Like, there's just no scenario in which SGA has 5 points going into the fourth quarter of a playoff game. He's not going to let that happen. Whereas Halliburton, by nature, is more passive. So I think if you've watched him throughout this season, throughout his career, it's not surprising, you know, the degree to which he's not involved. But I think you're right. If Indiana has any hope to actually win this series, as opposed to just steal a game and, you know, lose it in five, which to me still feels like we're heading that direction, they need Tyrese Halliburton to play more like he did in the fourth quarter. And a lot of those were difficult shots down the stretch, right? Maybe they're a little bit easier to make when you're down 18 and it doesn't feel like anything is on the line, but he had a really nice fall away three in the corner. You know, he took a couple long pull up threes. Those aren't necessarily the shots you want from Tyrese Halliburton, but you can't be picky against OKC, right? I think if Tyrese Halliburton has a window, I think he has to start capitalizing on that earlier in the game, because, you know, if Pascal Siakam's going to play like he did tonight, 3 of 11 from the field, the rest of these guys, you know, ultimately role players, right? Aaron Nesmith, Miles Turner, Andrew Nembhard, really nice players, but not guys that you can look at and say, hey, we're going to need 25 out of you tonight.
All right, let's look ahead to game three Wednesday night back in Indianapolis at Gainsbridge Fieldhouse. Are you surprised by the line sitting anywhere where Oklahoma City is a 4.5 to 5 point favorite, Nick?
I am. I really am. And, you know, you can look back earlier in the playoffs, you know, the Thunder were only a 3 point favorite for game three and game four in the Minnesota series, you know, but they were 6.5 point favorites for those two games in the Denver series. I thought, based on what we saw in game one and what we saw tonight, which was, you know, OKC essentially leading 99% of these two games, that this number would come in, I don't know, 6.5, 7, 7.5. That feels reasonable. I think you have to jump on OKC at 5 right now. Certainly if you could find it out there at 4.5, I know it's shorter rest between these two games. I know you're traveling, you know, Indy should play better in theory at home, but I think this is a really, really short number, really surprising to me based on what we've seen so far. You look at the total, you know, it's 228 right now at DraftKings. Game one, of course, went under that at 221. Game two comes in at 230. So I think that total makes sense, but I would lean over on that. You know, I think Indy can play better offensively at home. And honestly, you know, OKC at worst could probably replicate what it did tonight. You know, yeah, you get a great game out of Aaron Wiggins off the bench. That's probably not happening again, but OKC has still not played a great offensive game by any means in this series. I thought they were probably what, C plus, B minus on offense in game one, you know, maybe a B plus tonight. Outside of that 19-2 run, it still feels like they're leaving some meat on the bone. I mean, they hit 14 threes tonight, but nine of those were from Alex Caruso and Aaron Wiggins. The starters went just 4 of 17 from beyond the arc. And yeah, Chet Holmgren was better, but I think Jalen Williams is a guy that you look at and say, okay, he could play better as this series goes along.
We're chatting with Nick Whalen, who does a fantastic job of Prop Points co-host there Monday through Friday, 2 to 3 Eastern time, right here on VSiN, also a RotoWire senior analyst. Nick, any player props when you're looking at it ahead to game three, when you're looking at that marketplace that either team Pacers or Thunder side you're looking to take advantage of?
Yeah, absolutely. Probably won't lock anything in right away, but I love the NBA prop market. Might only have, I mean, three more games left in the season, so we got to take advantage. I just mentioned Jalen Williams. I would look at the over 21.5 points for him. I know he's gone under in each of these first two games, but I really like the looks that he's getting. You know, missed like three or four wide open threes tonight. I think he could have very easily gone over that number in at least one, if not both, of these first two games. So I know you're heading out on the road, but I think that is still a decent number. You know, we just talked about Tyrese Haliburton needing to be more aggressive. I think he realizes that. Certainly, if we're talking about it, the Pacers are. You look at the over 2.5 threes, that's plus money right now at DraftKings, plus 114. He has quietly gone over that in five of his last eight. Would also look at Haliburton over 7.5 assists. This is just kind of on principle. He's had 6 assists in each of these first two games, despite really feeling like he hasn't been involved whatsoever. You know, Pacers have been hot and cold shooting the ball, but this is a guy who was basically averaging double-digit assists coming into the NBA Finals. I mean, it would have been crazy to see a 7.5 out there in any of the previous rounds. And then the other one I would look at for Indiana, Aaron Nesmith, over 1.5 threes. I know you're laying a lot of juice right now. It's like minus 165 at DraftKings, but I would maybe even look at an alt line, bump that up to 2.5. He's got 7 threes in these first two games. He's taken 15. And you know, you think of Aaron Nesmith as this kind of dog on defense, this role player. This is a really, really good three-point shooter. A guy who shot north of 40% from three this season, a guy who has a pedigree as a shooter. So nothing he's doing to me in these playoffs feels unsustainable.
Nick, do you think the line between these two teams is a reaction to the way that Oklahoma City has played on the road as compared to at home?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Maybe a little bit. It just seems like, you know, going from 11.5 down to 5, you know, that a 6.5 point swing, you know, giving home court to Indiana, to me, that's a little too much. You know, yeah, the Thunder have had their blips, particularly in that Denver series, but it still feels to me like every time OKC loses a game, like something crazy has to happen, right? Like the Aaron Gordon three or the comeback, you know, by the Pacers in game one. And obviously Indiana, we know, is capable of replicating that effort. They've done it, what, 4 times already in these playoffs. But the room for error is just so large for OKC. Again, they have not really played that well on offense. You know, Jalen Williams kind of scuffling along. You know, starters aren't shooting it well. And they're still leading these first two games, you know, by double digits for the vast majority of the 106 minutes that we played so far. So look, the books make money for a reason. They know what they're doing. I'm not saying it's totally wrong, but to me, I'm surprised that number came in at 5.
Nick, hang in there. We're going to bring you back. We're going to talk a little Giannis, Milwaukee, and touch upon a little National Football League. We'll do that next. NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals are here. ProfitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. Even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSIN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. This is Cashing Out. Mark Melusis with you right here on VSiN.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Mark Melusis with you right here on Cashing Out. As great job by Adam Bernard, our producer here for Cashing Out, does a fantastic job of cavalcade of guests here. And let's go through their selections. I got a couple picks for you on the Stanley Cup Final, Game 3, Oilers and Panthers. Look ahead to Game 3 of the NBA Finals. And a baseball play as I'm going to tempt fate and thinking that this is the day that the losing streak snaps for the Atlanta Braves. We'll get to that momentarily. But Dave Sharapan from Bostonia versus the Book joined us earlier on the program. Edmonton and Florida, Game 3 Stanley Cup Finals. He would take over 6.5, threw in a baseball play as well. He likes Florida for the series. He likes the Pirates on the money line tonight. against the Miami Marlins. Connor Mack, from a baseball perspective, Rays, Red Sox. He's going to take the Tampa Bay Rays. Fresh off Boston, taking 2-3 in New York against the Yankees. He likes the Rays on the money line, minus 104. Dodgers and Padres, he's all over San Diego, the banged up Los Angeles team, even with Dustin May on the mound. Nick Pivetta on the mound later on tonight for San Diego. He's taking the Padres, and he likes the under in the game as well from Connor Mack. Jonathan Davis, NHL betting analyst right here for VSiN. Look ahead to Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Finals between the Panthers and the Oilers. Likes Leon Draisaitl, first goal, plus 400. Evan Rodriguez, over half assist, plus 164. Sam Bennett, anytime goal, plus 195. Evander Kane, over 4.5 hits, minus 165. He would also take in, he likes the Oilers in the series, minus a game and a half. Right now you can get that at plus 240. And as far as a game three prediction, as he told us earlier in the program, he's kind of like Switzerland, but he would take both Florida and Edmonton on the puck line, thinking that there's going to be a two-goal winner or more than a goal winner either way. One of these teams are going to win game three by at least two goals later on tonight. As far as Nick Whalen, who you just heard the interviewers are reacting to game two of the NBA Finals, he likes game three out back in Indianapolis. He likes the Thunder laying five as Oklahoma City won game two on Sunday night at home in Oklahoma City by 16, 123 to 107, your final. As you look ahead to game three of the NBA Finals, listen, we all know Oklahoma City is a minus 570 favorite back in being a, you know, a daylight favorite in this series, as you would expect. You know, they were the class of the Western Conference. They were the class of the playoffs. The concern you'd have about Oklahoma City was the experience. They gained a lot of experience when they went up against Nikola Jokic and the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference semifinals and were able to outlast Denver in seven games. They're clearly a better basketball team. The concern that you'd have is that Indiana, just like Oklahoma City on Sunday night, was the more desperate team in game two. They had to win that game. They couldn't lose the first two games at home after blowing a 15-point lead in game one, is that the Pacers are going to be the desperate team in game three. Now you might say to yourself, well, the Pacers can be the more desperate team in game three. It still doesn't matter. Oklahoma City's better. But are they better on the road as compared to when they are at home? Like, you look at the road and home splits of Oklahoma City in terms of their dominance. Not saying that they have not won any games on the road this year. They have. They bounced back from a 40-point loss in Game 3 against the Minnesota Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals and won Game 4 and then embarrassed the T-Wolves in Game 5. The Thunder, I thought, were going to win this series in six games. And if that is to be the case, well, that means Indiana is going to win one of the next two games, right? And so I would actually take the Pacers plus the five, game three on Wednesday night. I don't really have a feel in terms of the total, you know, one way or the other. I think if you like Indiana in the game, you could see it going over. You could see it going under. I don't really have a great feel as far as the total. The one thing that I would lean on from a player point perspective that I feel pretty strongly on that I mentioned earlier on the program, I would take Tyrese Halliburton. If you like the Indiana Pacers in the game and you're going to take the five, as game three gets going Wednesday night back in Indianapolis, I think Tyrese Halliburton, who's been described by many basketball scribe as being the head of the snake, I think you would take Tyrese Halliburton over 17.5 points. You know, we heard from Mark Dagnall, the head coach of Oklahoma City, a little bit earlier on the program. We also heard from Pascal Siakam. We know that Oklahoma City's focusing their defense, and it's an exquisite defense, on slowing down Tyrese Halliburton. But I would imagine he's going to take the frustration that he felt in game two, where he had 5 points through three quarters, scored 12 empty points in the fourth quarter when they were trying to, quote unquote, no pun intended, keep pace with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I would imagine Halliburton's going to be significantly more aggressive in game three, similar in case to where how aggressive he was in game four of the Eastern Conference Finals against the New York Knicks. Now, Oklahoma City's better defensively than New York, but I would feel strongly about taking the over point total for Halliburton over 17.5. And I think Indiana is going to find a way to keep that one close on Wednesday night. I would take the Pacers plus the 5 points. As far as game three of the Stanley Cup Finals are concerned, series tied up at a game apiece. You know, we had a great conversation earlier in the program with Jonathan Davis. I like Edmonton in the series. I think finally, the long wait is going to be over for all the Canadian hockey fans, that a team from Canada is going to finally win a Stanley Cup. And it'd be fitting for Gary Bettman, as the best hockey player in the world, with Connor McDavid finally hoisting Lord Stanley's Cup above his head. But we're a long way away from that. We got game three going on later on tonight down in Sunrise, Florida, between the Panthers and the Oilers, as the Florida Panthers are favorite in game three. And they're a slight favorite for in the series. And you say, why are they a slight favorite? Because they have home ice advantage moving forward. When you're looking at the game tonight, Florida is a minus 138 favorite. Edmonton is plus 115. Davis, Jonathan, that is, gave us some great player props a little bit earlier on. I think Florida, and I do think, even though Skinner and Bobrovsky have played really, really well in nets and they've had a lot of goals, I would take the over in terms of the goals scored, just from the sheer Florida's really good offensively as compared to where they were a year ago. They want to be physical. We know how good and dynamic Edmonton can be offensively as well, with the likes of Evander Kane. And you look at Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. I think there are going to be goals in game three, just like there were goals in game one, just like there were goals in game two. And I think both goaltenders can play well and still give up their fair share of goals. So I would agree with Dave Sharapan, who joined us earlier in the show. I would agree and take the over 6.5. I like Florida in game three. I like Edmonton in the series. I think this is going to be a 7-game series. I don't think there's a lot that separates these two teams. This is the third straight trip to the Stanley Cup Finals for Paul Maurice and the Florida Panthers. Some of the names have changed. The offensive output has changed. Sam Bennett's had an unbelievable Stanley Cup playoffs. There's no question about it. Connor Verhaeghe has played really, really well. The impact of Brad Marchand, who had two goals in game two, including the winner in overtime. I think the Florida Panthers, going back home, are going to take a 2-1 series lead. And then whoever wins this series is going to come down to what happens in game four, between the Oilers and the Florida Panthers. But I would take Florida minus the 135 in game three later on this evening. As far as the baseball is concerned, the Atlanta Braves have burned up a lot of tickets this year, and they are riding a 7-game losing streak as they go out there with to take on the Milwaukee Brewers later on tonight, 7:40 Eastern time, first pitch in Milwaukee, and they have Chris Sale on the mound. Now, Sale has been really, really good for the Atlanta Braves this year. He has been. He's pitching to a sub-3 ERA. He is 3-4 on the season, 1.24 whip. He's had 96 strikeouts in 73 and two-thirds innings of work. We know when Chris Sale is right, Chris Sale can be utterly dominant. The Braves are not going anywhere this year. You know, the start that they had to the season, they started to dig themselves out of it a little bit. They've now lost 7 straight. They just got swept this past weekend by the San Francisco Giants, who, you know, have been a really good team this year in a really loaded National League West. I'm going to go out there and think that today's the day that the Atlanta Braves snap their 7-game losing streak. On the road in Milwaukee, Brewers are, you know, a good team, not a great team. Sale has been great. It's been frustrating, clearly a frustrating year for the Atlanta Braves. They're not going to the playoffs in the National League. They're not going to get within the arm's distance of the Mets for first place in the National League East. But I just have a sneaky suspicion later on tonight they're going to snap that 7-game losing streak. And give me Chris Sale and the Atlanta Braves on the road in Milwaukee against the Brewers. And what are you getting? You're getting minus 180. You're laying a lot. I'd actually dabble on the run line as well. Lay the run and a half. It's only minus 102. Give me the Atlanta Braves in Milwaukee against the Brewers tonight with Sale on the mound. That does it. What a show. Justin Fensterman for joining us earlier on in the program. Dave Sharapan, Jonathan Davis for joining us. Nick Whalen for joining us. Great program. And I got to thank Adam Bernard for producing it and put together a great program as well. Make sure to keep it locked right here. We got Wake Up Tomorrow with VSiN by the Books with Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis at 7 a.m., followed by A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander at 10 a.m. Eastern. And then stick around for Money Moves with Stormy and JVT at noon. This has been Cashing Out. I'm Mark Melusis right here on VSiN.